And now for something completely different.
You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. He's taking a five-day weekend holiday. Kind of nice, isn't it, Paul? He gets to just take out.
I'm going to have that one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days. Well, Paulie's here with me producing the show, so I'm in good hands, and we're looking forward to a great afternoon. Thank you for joining us here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. Our number here is toll-free, 866-577-2473. That is toll-free to reach the show, 866-577-2473. I really hope you will keep that number, because today I'm going to be interviewing James Fazio. He is the Dean of Bible and Theology out at the Southern California Seminary. And if you have a question about the seminary or a question about theology, we're going to have you give a call in and we'll share those. I've got a bunch of questions for him, but I have no idea if I'm asking what you're interested in. So we'd like you to give a call to the show. You can always email davidspoon@kprz.com, or you can find the Facebook page by typing in the David Spoon Experience. You can like it, make a comment, or share the posts, and David's usually posting something on there every day. We're looking forward to having a great time together this afternoon. If you're wondering what's coming up today, well, this is the day after Labor Day, and that's an amazing holiday. I always find it interesting, the people that post on Facebook the things about, it's Labor Day and I'm working, but not at work, you know. I'm working at home. Yesterday, I started into some projects and did not get very far on the projects because I decided, you know what, my tool shed, my storage and work shed is so discolored, discoordinated. It needs to be cleaned. So I ended up pulling everything out, sorting and sweeping, and put it all back in. It's all nice and neat, which for people that work at messy desks say that's really the sign of someone who doesn't think very well. But it'll take me about a week, and all the tools will be out of place, and everything will be stuffed and stacked, and there'll be new things in there. But we did a lot of work around home yesterday. We were trying to avoid the traffic, so we did the Labor Day whole thing before Labor Day. It's quite interesting. I discovered that in 1945, on the Labor Day of 1945, the restrictions on gas were lifted. You know, that was in the World War II era, and the rationing of gasoline and rubber and anything else critical to the country's war efforts were suspended. My parents were living. They were in their 20s in those days, and they lived through all that rationing of things, which is one of the reasons why my mom always served leftover vegetables to the third and fourth day. You know, you're going to finish those last bit of broccoli, even though it's just paste now. But we're not throwing these things away. They had lived through that. But in 1945, on Labor Day, the restrictions were lifted, and they were expecting huge traffic jams. Well, I'll tell you what. Traffic in 1945, I did a little research on this just to kind of get some comparisons. In 1945, there were total registered vehicles of private vehicles, cars and trucks, 25,694,926. There's actually records of all this. And 25 million plus in 1945. By 1960, there were over 61 million cars, 671. I'm thinking, okay, we're starting to get to some traffic jams here. But, you know, when you add up the number of light-duty vehicles, they call them now, that's cars and the light-duty trucks, not counting buses and multi-axle trucks, there were in 2014, that's the last records that I can find. I guess it takes them a while to count all of these cars. There were 240,155,237 cars. I looked at that and thought, I don't think I'm going to drive anywhere on Labor Day. I'm just going to stay home. So I cleaned my garage, cleaned my shed out, and you know, it feels really good now. Looks great. But we had a great time before Labor Day came. My grandson was visiting. people that know me realize I talk about my grandson a lot because I like him. We get along really well. But it's amazing having a 2-year-old in the house. And he's not quite two. But, you know, if you ask people, so how old is your little kid? And they go, 21 months and 3 days. You know, it's like, hey, you know, almost two works for me. So my grandson's almost two. And I began to discover, you know, there's a few things that are just a little different around here. You know, like cleaning your house with a 2-year-old boy playing is kind of like shoveling the walk before it stops snowing. But, you know, now that he's gone, man, our living room is like so empty. Where did all the Duplos go? And why aren't I stepping on any Brio train tracks? And why is the coffee table just have this nice little netting on it with that little bowl of the little fake fruit thingies? But, when he was here, boy, that living room was his playroom, and it was a lot of fun. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "There was never a child so lovely, but his mother was glad to get him to sleep." Now, ladies with preschool toddler kids, I commend you. Kudos to you. I know how difficult that is. I was listening to Focus on the Family on the drive in today, and there's a great mom on there talking about raising boys. And my wife and I, we had 4 children. They're all about 2 years apart. So there were some years in there. They're mostly just kind of foggy to me. Just sort of I'm not really exactly sure, but I know we were tired. I can say that about those years. It is so much effort. You know, every night when little 2-year-old, my little grandson would come, give me his grandpa hug good night, I knew in just a few moments, mom's going to come out and sit down and go, yes, and that's a wonderful feeling, isn't it, ladies, when you get that little nap time or the little putting to bed. You can learn many things from children, Franklin Jones said. How much patience you have, for instance, and that is definitely true. Having little children around definitely causes us to put a little time into the patience category. And, you know, one last thing I discovered, silence is golden unless you have a toddler. In that case, silence is very, very suspicious. Yep, there were quite a few times last week we had to say in the family, "Hey, who's got an eye on the little guy?" And somebody would jump up and head out there. And you realize just for when moms are at home or dads are at home and you're the only one keeping an eye, that's a lot of work. So kudos to you all. Well, we're going to have a great show, a great afternoon together. I mentioned James Fazio is going to be here with us. And if you'd like to give a call, you can call 866-577-2473. You'll get Polly on the line there. Just give him your question. If you have a question about SoCal Seminary, if you have a question about theology, we'll be glad to stump James with that. Yeah, James, I've been with James before. He's ready to answer any question. We traveled Africa together, and we did some Q&As. They kind of pulled a fast one on us. They said, "We're going to do Q&As until lunch is served," and it was about 1 o'clock, and they didn't serve lunch till like 4. So we had 3 hours of Q&A time with about 180, 200 church leaders. It was a great time. But you can also, if you want to email a question, email it to Steve W. That's STEVEW at whitefields.org. That's one word, whitefields.org. That is the ministry that I am the director of. We are a church planting ministry. We support national pastors, and we do work all around the world in Africa, Argentina. We are in the Middle East. We are in Asia, in the country of Japan. That is where our founder started the ministry right after World War II back in 1952-53. He started that ministry, and what a great ministry it has been over all these years of supporting nationals, working together the network that is required and the support to the church planter so that the national working alongside of a missionary can go out and plant a church. I coordinate with missionaries that are on the field, and they'll tell me, "Steve, I've got a national that's been raised up. They could go plant a church in this village, this little area. There's 70, 80, 90 families that live over there. There's only one or two Christian families in that area. And I've got a guy ready to go, a family that's ready to go out and become a pastor, but we have no way to support them to get that church started. And that's what Whitefields Ministry does. We support those pastors, and then we come alongside them with various micro-enterprise projects in those really, really poor communities. The people that live there need something to help them get started, get going, so that they are able to support the church themselves. And we gradually decrease that support until that church becomes self-sustaining. So if you want to give a call or send an email to steve.w@whitefields.org, you can ask a question of James. I've got some questions ready to go, but I have no idea if I'm going to be asking him things that are interesting to you. So we'd love to hear from you. And we will be seeing him later this session. And then we're also going to take a look at Psalm 119. I've titled this, "What Are Your Eyes Seeing?" It might not go where you think it's going to go, but we're going to take a couple of these verses from Psalm 119, and we're going to explore how Satan tries to attack us and what we can put in place in order to keep him from being able to do that. So we're also going to hear some prayer reports from around the world. I've got some brand new reports from some of our pastors in countries like Burma and the Philippines and in Africa. And so we're going to hear some of those prayer reports. We're going to talk a little bit about praying for missions and what it's like to be involved in that kind of a process. And then I'm also going to do something about complacent or zealous. It's an interesting question. I'm really curious whether you might consider yourself a complacent Christian, that is, complacent towards sin and sin around us, or are you a zealous Christian? So we're going to explore some of that today. We've got a couple of hours together. I hope that you will hang in there, whatever you are doing. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
As the school year is starting and everyone is getting back from vacation, maybe you're saying to yourself, this year I want to really lock into a great midweek Bible study. This is your chance. On Wednesday, September 7th, Pastor Brian Newberry of Calvary Chapel San Diego starts a new series titled Through the Bible. This in-depth study covers the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. If you're looking to gain a deeper knowledge of God's Word, then come fellowship with Calvary Chapel San Diego Wednesday night starting September 7th. Plus, for the month of September, you'll enjoy special music by Chris Lozat, the Justin Fox Band, the Steve Ante Band, and the Gutierrez Brothers.
You are my Savior and my friend.
For more information and directions, go to calvarysd.com. That's calvarysd.com. Or call us at 619-421-1100. 619-421-1100.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Miss Foster, you must alert the authorities immediately.
Why is that, sir?
All these new people we hired have been replaced by alien life forms.
And what makes you say that?
They're all here on time.
That's because they're from helpwantedsandiego.com.
That's their home planet?
No, it's the job site. So easy to apply that the number of applies per posting are now up over 57%.
Why are they all smiling so much?
Because they're happy.
Because they're not human.
Could be because they don't have to drive ridiculously long distances.
In their little spaceships.
In their cars.
The pod people do seem to be good at what they do.
Well, we get some of our best hirees through HelpWantedSanDiego.com.
Do we?
The site is super mobile friendly and the apply process is so easy. The applies are up over 57%, so they have more qualified local employees than ever.
So what is that strange sound I hear? Surely some intergalactic language.
I believe it's called laughter.
Well, at least they've come in peace. But whatever do we feed them?
I'm going to go with lunch. Lower prices to post jobs. Mobile friendly and so easy to apply to great local jobs. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You can find our ministry at whitefields.org. Whitefields Ministry supports national pastors starting new churches in their own country. You can also call if you want to get connected with us. Our number is 760-846-8610. I always appreciate David tells you just to check it out. You can sign up to get an occasional email from us, or you can just take a look at our website. There's a new blog just posted up there about Christine's House. We call it Compassion Out Loud. You want to find out what a church in Uganda did to help a desperate and destitute lady that came into their membership. You can go read that. But I wanted to talk to you about living by prayer. Living by prayer and being involved in prayer and praying for missionaries. I have a little devotional book of prayers, The Valley of Vision. It's prayers that were collected and edited by Arthur Bennett, the collection of Puritan prayers. And one of them calls Living by Prayer. It says, "Oh God of the open ear." Is that not a phenomenal way of addressing God? We often just address him as Heavenly Father or "Oh Lord," or we call him by Jesus. But "Oh God of the open ear," do you realize that when you come to pray, you are praying to a God who has promised to hear you and to listen to you? I find when I travel with our pastors, especially into countries like Uganda or into countries like Burma and the Middle East, and they are predominantly overwhelmed by majority religions, like in Burma, it's Buddhism. Often it is through the prayers of the people as they begin to pray and God answers them that they will come to the pastor and they will say, "I now know that the God you have been pointing me to is the living God." And one of the ways that they come to know that and believe that is through prayer. And we, as Americans, we need to be involved in that as well. And so this prayer begins, this Puritan prayer, "Oh God of the open ear, teach me to live by prayer, as well as by providence, for myself, soul, body, children, family, church. Give me a heart frameable to thy will, so might I live in prayer and honor thee, being kept from evil, known and unknown." What a great way to remind us that when we come to God, we're just like his son Jesus, who came to the garden. He prayed a prayer request, but then he said, "Not my will, but thine." And that is what we should be doing every time we come to God in prayer. Part of Whitefield's ministry is to collect the prayer reports from the pastors that we're supporting. And we post them on our website. We post also something on Facebook each day. You can find Whitefields, Inc., I-N-C. That was our official name in 1956 when we were registered with the IRS. 1956, we became an incorporation, a nonprofit corporation. And so Whitefields, Inc., on Facebook, and you can like our page. Once a day, we put up either a praise or a prayer report. And I thought I'd share one of those with you. Pastor Shwe, he's in Burma. He was a Buddhist monk when he found Jesus Christ, and he became a very effective evangelist because he knew firsthand, personally, what those people were really looking for, what they really wanted to know in a religion, what they really were sincerely seeking. And he also knew what they were not finding as they tried to follow Buddhism. And like the Apostle Paul, he does a lot of reasoning and defending of the faith. Well, our prayer report on our website says he says, "My outreach ministry progressed last month. The Lord opened a new door for me to conduct a home cell or a Bible study program at a Buddhist house. They opened their house for a home cell program. And we're taught about the salvation of Jesus Christ. I find it exciting because that's an answer to prayer. We pray for God to open the doors for salvation. We pray for God to open the doors of the places. And here is a pastor being invited in by these people. And they were taught about the salvation of Jesus Christ. He says, I will continue conducting the home cell in their house once a month. Praise the Lord. He says, I also met two men who were retired Buddhist monks. I had discussed with them about the way of salvation, comparing the teaching of Christians and Buddhists." And so Pastor Shui is very skilled at being able to do this because he came out of Buddhism, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior, and now, just like the Apostle Paul was when he came out of Judaism, he was able to go back to the Old Testament scriptures and reason with them. And so that's what Pastor Shui is doing. And then he says this, the final sentence of that paragraph, he says, "They had tried to defend their belief. But when I explained to them about Jesus, who is the only way of salvation, their countenance was changed." In other words, they stopped trying to defend their faith, their Buddhism, and they began to listen more. And so we're asking you, please pray that the Holy Spirit may continue to speak to these two retired monks that Pastor Shui met. I was with Pastor Shui a year ago. Lord willing, I will be again in Burma in November. That's a part of my job, is to travel in and to be able to go visit our pastors, walk with them, walk with our field directors who give oversight and accountability all year long. But I will be there with them. When I traveled into that area, I realized just kind of what a dark and sort of a, just you could tell there was a sense of kind of danger in the area. This is the way things were set up, the way people were looking and kind of ducking behind cover and different things. And I asked about it. They said, yes, this is a very dangerous village area. When someone in the main city is looking to hire a murderer, someone that needs to hire a killer, they would come here to find them. And I asked Pastor Shui, well, how did things go when you first started church here? He said, well, they threw rocks. Yeah, they threw rocks. But I said, what did you do? He says, we kept gathering. And now some of the people that were throwing rocks, they're now coming and bringing their water buckets because the church and some young people from our local institute there in Yangon, they came and dug a well. And so now the church is able to give clean water, and those people that used to throw rocks now bring their buckets in. And so we're excited to be able to go back and visit them again. Another one of the pastors in Burma as well, Myanmar is the name is Myanmar, Burma, both of those names over by India and China and that region of Asia. Pastor Hlang shares with us, he says, "As you prayed for my ministry, the Lord opened another door so I could reach the San Kin village." I love the way that our pastors will express so often, and usually the first thing that they ask me for when I visit them and that they express to me, they will express, "Thank you so much for the people who pray for us, because we're seeing God's answers to those prayers." I've had some pastors that have expressed, we tried to plant a church before we had met Whitefields, and things weren't going as well as they could. Very few people were responding to the gospel. Very few things were working right. We were introduced to Whitefields in addition to the financial support that we began to receive that allowed me to work full-time at the church planting. We also began to receive responses to our prayer requests, and people began to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and God really began to open up doors. And that's the marvelous thing that is exciting about a ministry that is bathed in prayer. He's reaching out to these extremely rural villages. In this village of San Kin, there are only about 70 families that live in the village. And only one of those families is a Christian family, and they've had no place to worship for many years. And so the rest of the people in the village are non-Christians. He had gone, he shared the gospel with the Christian family, and among them, two additional family members received Christ even in that family, and they were soon baptized. And praise the Lord, he says, I've been able to visit this village now at different times with his son. They've conducted family worship services there. They've invited friends and neighbors, and now about 15 people have gathered when they go. And so among the 70 families, there's one believing family so far, and they continue to pray for the people of that region. That's the way the gospel works, and that's the way your prayers help. And the financial support that our supporters give to us, praise the Lord, we have supporters all across Canada that support us. We have quite a number of churches across the U.S. and in Canada as well that give to us. And then a lot of individuals that have come to realize the Lord has blessed me with some funds. I'm going to put it towards supporting some national church planters. It becomes a very effective way to multiply the ministry of our missionaries that are there, who often are very busy with keeping their own ministry going. They've raised up young people that could go out and begin planting churches, and we come alongside them. Like Jason, young Jason is in the Philippines, and he says, I praise God for using my life. We first supported Jason when he was just a young man, was not yet married. And then he married his wife and he planted a church. It became self-sustaining. Another pastor from the denomination Jason was working with came in and took over that church. And then Jason moved back to the island of Negros, and he is now planting another church there. He's got several small children now and a young family. And he says, I thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to share his word with the family of one of the oldest members of our church, Nane. And she died from old age. He was able to witness and share the gospel with the family, and Nane, her grandchildren and children, showed no interest at first, but he kept going. He kept being faithful, kept sharing with them, and he praises God because the family members, including the children and the grandchildren, listened, and several of them have now received Jesus Christ. That's a result of prayer, and we thank you for being involved with that. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
From the San Diego studios of KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Life Christian Church presents an evening with Dr. Mark T. Barclay, prophet and apostle to thousands of pastors and ministers worldwide. A prolific author and nationally acclaimed television host, Dr. Barclay is an anointed teacher and a timely voice of stability and righteousness. He has been sought after by some of the highest level executives, politicians, and national power players for his divine leadership and counsel. Dr. Barclay has his finger on the pulse of what is happening in the church universally, and what is happening and going to happen in these times of unrest. This special event will take place on Wednesday and Thursday, September 7th and 8th at 7 p.m. at Life Christian Church. For more information, visit lifechristianchurch.com or call 760-439-3300. Visit lifechristianchurch.com or call 760-439-3300 for more information on this powerful event.
Chris George, now the general manager of Subaru Mazda of El Cajon.
I just feel like we, as Christians, we need to stand. We need to live out what we believe instead of just using our words. I'm passionate. I want to make a difference. And whenever I'm 104 and time to go home, that I have no regrets. It's just something God's doing. And I'd love to make an impact that made a difference in people's lives. And because there's so much we could unify around if we put down some of our differences.
Go to Subaru Mazda of El Cajon today. Call 800-418-4444.
Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in store or online at RiteAid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
Most personal fitness trainers agree. After a particularly painful workout or athletic exertion, when your muscles are sore and painful, the best thing to do is walk it out. Engage in some gentle exercise to keep your muscles limber and to allow oxygen and blood flow to do their healing work. The worst thing to do is to do nothing, to let the fear of pain immobilize you. It's the same in the spiritual life. If you have been wounded by a painful experience, walk by faith immediately, gently, but resolutely. Stay in motion so God can rub the healing balm of His faithful love into your soul. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's healing power on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here. KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. David is out today, and he has let me come on in and sit in the chair. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. And you can find Whitefields Ministry at whitefields.org. And excited about our partners who support and help support National Church Planters. And one of the guys I've traveled with in Africa, had a great time traveling with him, James Fazio, is with us. James, welcome today.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you with us. And he is the Dean of Bible and Theology at Southern California Seminary. Now, I pulled this right off the website that the seminary is located 20 minutes from downtown San Diego, which basically means El Cajon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right there, kind of on the campus, right across the street from Shadow Mountain Church. And so if folks are familiar with Shadow Mountain Community Church under the leadership of David Jeremiah, then you know right where the school is at. And your fall modular just started today.
Today's the first day of the new year, yeah.
All right, so I'm really amazed that you're here. You've probably run out from to getting classes started because you do more than just teach, right?
I do, yeah. As the dean, I have administrative duties throughout the day, throughout the week, and we have evening classes.
Oh.
So I usually have teaching responsibilities at night.
All right. So evening class, that's an important thing to know. It's not just daytime. Sometimes people think of seminary or school like that as being like you got to have no job and you go to school all day. But you have evening classes. That fits in.
Yeah. Our program is specifically designed for pastors, many of whom are in addition to being a pastor, are carrying a daytime job as well. Okay. So they've got all kinds of responsibilities. Oftentimes they're family men. So they're just laden with responsibility. Our programs are scheduled to accommodate that kind of lifestyle.
All right.
We have classes that meet one night a week. And 3 hours is the class time and keeps them really busy outside of class as
well. All right. So there's study and work outside of class. But if you time that right and use it to teach a Bible study with the same material you're studying in class, that's like a 2-for-1, right?
Absolutely.
So that works out really well. And then you can get all the hard answers, all the hard questions answered in class, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's great. And so schedule is a thing that's very important. But I wanted to explore with you just a little bit. What is the importance of studying theology and studying the Bible? And is it useful for people that are not thinking of going into the pastorate? But are there also reasons for people to come to school, come to seminary, just to study the Bible?
Absolutely. You know, the apostles' doctrine is one of the foundational elements in the thriving, budding Christian church in the mm-hmm. book of Acts. And,
right.
and it's foundational. Obviously, the apostles were the ones doing the teaching, but that means the church was the ones learning the teaching.
Right.
And so much today, a lot of Christians are comfortable just leaving the study mm-hmm. of Christian doctrine to someone else.
Well, sometimes I think they get kind of a confused idea of what doctrine is. They think it's just that hard stuff that people fight about, and it really doesn't have any practical application to my life.
Right.
Shouldn't we just all love each other and get along? How would you respond to somebody that said that to you? Why do we need to talk about disagree with the theology? And why can't we just all get along? How would you respond to that?
Well, it's important that we know what it is that we believe And if we don't start with that foundation of knowing what we believe, then on one hand, you could say it's a lot easier to get along with everybody if no one has any particular conviction about what the word says. But, you know, it was important enough for the apostles to die for it. It's not something to be taken lightly. The fact that we have it so easily accessible to us.
Wow, that's an amazing thing. We have so many available options like K-Praise all day long. You can listen to sermons all day long here from phenomenal pastors all over the country.
Right.
And being able to take advantage of that. But it's really something you said is if you don't have the foundation of what the Bible means before you start practicing Christianity, you could sort of end up doing anything, right?
It certainly leads so many, you know, as to borrow a phrase of the Apostle Paul, leads so many shipwreck.
That's right.
It really does. It can wreck one's Christian life and can impact so many more, especially when you have false doctrine. Many times, innocently, perhaps, right. But false doctrine from the pulpit.
Sure.
And of course, no pastor wants to.
Satan is actually endeavoring to confuse us, lead us astray.
That's right. Absolutely.
And then there's just kind of carelessness that comes. And some of that can really cause a problem. I was teaching in Uganda, and you've been to Uganda. We traveled there. And one of the things that I was talking about was the difference between interpreting the Bible literally and then giving allegorical meanings to it. And one of the ways people allegorize things is they'll take one of those great stories from the Old Testament, maybe like David and Goliath, and they'll tell the story that David beat Goliath. And so therefore you need to have victory in your life over everything. And someone had been given the impression that they should never suffer a setback. Everything should always be a victory based on that story. That could be really discouraging to someone, right?
Sure. That's an example right there of not only if we're not studied in the scriptures, can we reach some false understandings or interpretations of scripture? But there are many out there who are twisting God's word and giving all kinds of false meanings. And those teachings do get overseas. They are sometimes radio and those other venues are all that some people in third world countries have.
Right.
They don't have
because
the
access. Sometimes they don't even own a Bible.
Right.
Now, thank you. I want to thank you on air here. You made available to us about 18 David Jeremiah study Bibles, which we passed out. Those were in English, and there were about 18 people there in Rukungiri that had pretty good English skills. There were the 17th, 16th, 17th, and 18th ones were stretching it a little. But it was exciting because they were very eager to have that Bible. Now, what a rich resource that was.
Yeah.
And those kinds of tools are very helpful.
Right.
We tend to have 4, 5, 6 Bibles in our house.
Right.
Sadly, folks, sometimes we have 5, 6 Bibles and then people aren't even reading them during the week. And they have to find them on Sunday and dust them off and get them to church with them. But what would happen in a church if like everybody in the pew had their Bible education level raised to like a Bible college level? What would happen to the sermons, do you think?
Well, you know, it's obviously so much more than just mere head knowledge. It's something that needs to get into our lives. It needs to impact how we behave and our testimony in the world.
Right.
You just imagine the kind of testimony that we would have living before other people, before unbelievers.
And the ability to reason with them from the Bible to defend our faith, right?
Right.
Boy, when you can point to a scripture, you could say to someone when you're defending the faith with them, well, okay, look, right here in the Bible, this is where it addresses what you're talking about, but look at what it says.
Yeah.
And that's an important skill to have. And I think some people kind of shy away from even getting into those conversations for fear that they'll ask me something I don't know.
Right.
And that's what your classes address, right?
It is. It's amazing how many times the same questions come up by many skeptics or unbelievers. It's not that there's a whole range of questions. There's usually just a few issues on most people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can a good God allow evil to exist? Those kinds of basic questions.
Right.
So You'll find that it could really be reduced down to just a handful of questions.
Right. Now, somebody does not have to be going into the pastorate to attend the school. Do you give what are the degrees? And we'll probably come back to this in the next segment as well. But what are some of the degrees that you offer at Soquel Seminary? And what do people need to have in place before they can enroll?
That's great. I'm glad you asked me that, because we do, of course, offer the Master of Divinity, which is the flagship pastoral degree program. We also have the Master of Theology, which is a bit more than that. It includes years of Greek, Hebrew, and advanced theological studies. But we also have far more accessible degree programs for people, some of which can be completed in as little as 1 year. Mm-hmm. We have a Master of Arts in Christian Ministry.
Okay.
We have a new Master of Arts in Christian Counseling. We have a Master of Arts in Philosophy and Apologetics, mm-hmm. and we have a whole behavioral science program as well that offers degrees in marriage and family therapy and counseling psychology.
So these are things that could be put right into work in a local church. If somebody wanted to say, I want to plug into a ministry in my church, they could come to Soquel Seminary and be trained and then put those skills right into practice, maybe in counseling or discipleship. You don't have to just be a person that's going to go into a pulpit.
Absolutely. Our programs are designed for that very purpose.
Oh, that's very good. Does everybody have to have graduated from college before they start?
That's a good question. Yeah, a seminary is a graduate school. However, at Southern California Seminary, we offer our biblical education at the undergraduate level as well.
Okay.
So we offer accredited Bachelor of Arts degrees. Now, we don't have a range of majors. We just offer Bible.
Okay. We are going to come back, and we're going to be talking with James Fazio as we continue here. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM. Don't go anywhere. James is going to be hanging out with us.
The David Spoon Experience continues on KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Did your financial advisor lose 30% or more of your life savings during the last market crash? Are you afraid it could happen again? I'm Pastor David Mitchell, founder of Tradeway. Tradeway specializes in teaching you how to cut out the middleman and take control of your money. At our first event, Step 1, Start Your Journey, you'll learn how business principles from the Bible, combined with our powerful skill sets for stock trading, can give you the ability to make informed financial decisions for your family. Having control can give you peace of mind even in an uncertain market, because nobody cares as much about your hard-earned money as you do. Tradeway, you'll learn to reach your biggest goals by taking small steps.
Coming to the Holiday Inn Mission Valley San Diego, September 16th and 17th. Only $99.95 for your entire household, plus a free ticket for a friend and a full money-back guarantee. To register, call 877-907-TRADE. That's 877-907-8723 or go to Tradeway.com. That's Tradeway.com.
And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. When Jesus prophesied to his disciples about future trials, they could not yet imagine what they would ultimately endure for the gospel. All of them, save Judas Iscariot, underwent intense persecution, and many of them were martyred. In the hardest moments, no doubt Jesus' words returned to them and comforted them. 2,000 years later, our brothers and sisters around the world are facing taxation, imprisonment, beatings, rape, slavery, and even death because they worship Jesus. Even here in the United States, many believers are finding themselves at odds with public opinion and the law because of their faith. But just as the apostles could endure because they had seen the risen Christ, The church can also stand today in the confidence that comes from knowing Jesus and his goodness. It's tempting to despair, but be encouraged. Stand in the knowledge that he will not forget your faithfulness. For more, go to TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience, and David is out for a five-day holiday weekend. What a great opportunity he has, and he has turned over the chair and the mic to me. I've got James Fazio in the studio with us. James is a good friend, and he's the Dean of Bible and Theology out at SoCal Seminary, and he's been sharing with us some of their programs and the importance of theology and Bible training and why it's not just for people that are going into the pulpit ministry. And we were just following up a thought on that. You have programs that are available for people. Your one-year Bible degree program can be completed in a year, so they don't have to look at it and say, wow, this is like 3, 4, 5 years out of my life. What are some other opportunities for people from churches to kind of get plugged in? What does it cost? What is the fees and the and those kinds of things? And is there help for them?
That's a great question. One of the unique things about our school is that we have, as part of our mission statement, that we want to offer our education at modest tuition. Mm. That's built into our concept. We want it to be accessible, so we factor that into when we schedule classes. Also, the fact that we offer all of our classes online so that someone can earn any of those degree programs without ever having to leave their home. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to tuition, we keep the tuition as low as we can. On top of that, we also have a number of scholarships that are available. One of them I'd like to mention, This is our last year that we're offering this scholarship, but it is the most unprecedented scholarship that I understand any school has ever offered. Mm-hmm. And that's a big statement. But when you hear it explained, you'll realize we have offered a scholarship to every single church in San Diego County, A free tuition scholarship. Because as I was saying earlier, we are aware that there are people in the pulpit that don't have a theological education.
Okay.
And many times there's various obstacles to keep them from that. And we don't want cost to be one of those.
Okay.
Factors. So,
wow, that's a huge thing when you say, because you still have to keep the school functioning. So there are supporters that are donating and supporting the school so that pastors that have gotten into the pulpit, and that happens sometimes. I know youth pastor, the senior pastor passes away. The people say, hey, we really, really love you. We want you to become the pastor. They haven't had an opportunity to complete their seminary, and they step into the pulpit. Next thing you know, man, I'm busy trying to keep up and shepherd all these lives and the opportunity to get in and be involved in that. We were just talking about how theology affects your practice and your behavior. And I wanted to put theology in a very practical sense. I was over in Uganda with our good friend Onesimus, who is a pastor in Uganda. He's a graduate of SoCal Seminary, a great support and ministry from Uganda Ministries, helping him be here and be a student. Yeah. At his church, they built a house for Christine. Now, the whole story, and there's pictures up at the Whitefields website at whitefields.org. I was there, kind of a small part of that. We helped introduce the brick-making machines, and Uganda Ministries helped purchase some of those machines. So it's kind of this big collaboration project, and it was exciting to build this house because people and members of the church wanted to do this for Christine. She had been demon-possessed. She had been thrown into a fire. Her face is scarred up, been rejected by everybody. Explain to us a little bit how that relates to doctrine. Most people would not think that has anything to do with doctrine, but really it does, doesn't it?
Right, right. Well, you know, we see we have a very real enemy, mm-hmm. and he is at work in the church, he's at work in the world, mm-hmm. and he works differently in different areas.
Right.
I mean, he has one goal in mind, and he's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to throw us off track, and whatever it takes to do that, he will do. And I believe also, even as we learn from Job, that he is limited. He's right. not free to do whatever he wants.
Sure. That's important for people to realize. Some people get really afraid of Satan because they think he's omniscient and knows everything. And in reality, he's not.
Right.
And you learn that from doctrine. If you study the Bible, you'll learn those things and you can be less afraid of things too.
Yeah, absolutely. And even to realize that Satan is a lot more powerful than the common believer, but he's just a created being.
Right.
And so it's important that we understand our stance in God.
Right.
And that the way to counteract that is through God's word.
Right.
And it really is important for the believer to understand their relationship and role, even in respect to Satan.
And then in God's word, it teaches us about how to appropriately serve the poor. And there's been problems with that throughout the history of the church, right? Where they,
right.
we get into the social gospel where people started doing social stuff and forgot the gospel. And then other people that do the gospel and forget the social caring for the poor. It's an important part of studying the Bible to know how to do that appropriately, right?
Absolutely. And that is, you know, pure religion undefiled.
Right.
Visiting orphans and widows, taking care of those that are in need. But again, not to the neglect of the word of God. That's where
That's
the apostles
right.
set up other men to take care of the needs to make sure they weren't neglected.
Otherwise, you end up just being a person that's wandering around doing good things, but never really knowing Jesus Christ. And that's a very, very sad place to be. We are talking with James Fazio. He is the Dean of Bible and Theology at Southern California Seminary. We're going to continue our discussion with him after the top of the hour here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego. I'm Steve Wheeler, the Director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.